Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but, though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that, as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fifth chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I begin this morning, let me bring you greetings from President Lang and from all of the Kansas District staff. It is a joy to be in partnership with you and with the 160 congregations of the Kansas District, of the 14 Lutheran schools and 45 preschools that we have in the district. It is a joy to have this partnership, and it's a joy for me to be here with you this morning. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. As Pastor said, my name is Dan Gelschut, and I serve as the assistant to the district president for missions and stewardship. And this morning, for the sermon, I'll be visiting with you about missions. And as I visit with you about missions this morning, I'll acknowledge that most of the time when I travel around Kansas, and I do quite a bit of that in my job for the last 2 years, as I travel around Kansas and I ask people what they think of when it comes to missions and mission work, most often the answer I get is either overseas or Africa. You see, usually when people think about mission work, they think about what's happening far away from where they live, in some third world country where there are really great needs and really great challenges. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I would like to remind you that we live in a place where there are really great needs and really great challenges before us. I mentioned to the Bible study a little bit ago that statistics tell us that about 16% of Americans will gather this morning for church. 16%. That means that 275 million Americans won't be gathered around the Lord's gifts this morning. Clearly, there are really great needs and really great challenges around us. And I would contend that one of the greatest challenges that we face as Christians who have been given God's mission to go and make disciples of all nations, one of the greatest challenges that we face in our context and in our culture is that quite often we live among people or we live in a context where people don't always see the challenges around us for what they really are. I live in Topeka, and my church there in Topeka, at my church there in Topeka, during one of the Bible studies, we were visiting about doing mission work in our local setting. That means telling other people about Jesus, inviting them to church. And as we were visiting about that in Bible class, one of the members was thinking of a particular individual that they knew, a particular individual that they really thought needed to hear about Jesus, that they really wanted to invite to church. But as this individual was talking about this person they had in mind, this individual said, "The challenge I have is that this person, well, they think that they're doing just fine without God, that they don't really need God." brothers and sisters in Christ, this is one of the greatest challenges I believe we face as we think about mission work here in Kansas, which desperately needs to be done. And that's why the words of our gospel reading for this morning are so helpful for us. Because our gospel reading from Mark chapter 5, well, it reminds us that we as people, we've got problems. We've got real problems that we need to be saved from. And more than this, our gospel reading reminds us that Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. Our reading starts out with Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, and a man named Jairus has a sick daughter, a daughter who's so sick that she's on the verge of death. And so Jesus is asked to go to Jairus' house and to help this daughter so that she can be made well. And right there, we can see the problems that Jairus and his family are facing. There's a little girl, a 12-year-old girl, whose body isn't working right. In fact, it's doing so poorly that death is drawing near. We can see a real problem, a real challenge for this young woman. But consider Jairus' problems as well. Here he is. He's the dad. He's the father. And there's nothing that he can do to help his little girl out. He must have had a great sense of helplessness until he hears that Jesus is in the area. And so he goes to Jesus and asks for help. But as Jesus is making his way to Jairus' house, we hear about another woman who's got problems of her own. She's been bleeding for 12 years. Her body also has a sickness and a disease. Maybe it's not quite as bad as the young girl's disease, but it's bad enough. It's a problem enough that she desperately wants help as well. And why not? She has a real problem here. Her health isn't what it should be. She's even got more problems than that as well, because if you didn't know this, her blood issue, the fact that she's bleeding, well, it makes her continually unclean. It cuts her off from the temple. It makes her a second-class citizen. And so, she would be cut off and estranged from the community. She, too, has real problems. And just like Jairus and his daughter and his family, and just like this woman, you and I know and admit that we have real problems as well. We also deal with sicknesses and disease. Some of those are so bad that we or loved ones we have are facing death. We know what it's like to feel helpless like Jairus, that we can't fix the problem that we're in or solve the problem. We know what it's like to feel estranged from somebody else, maybe estranged from our community, maybe estranged from somebody in our family, or maybe just lonely at times. We have real problems, just like the people in our text do. And fellow redeemed in the Lord, the people we live around, even the people who aren't coming to church and maybe think that they're doing just fine without God, you and I know they have real problems too. Well, sure, maybe they're pretty good at pretending like they don't have those problems, but you and I know they have real problems. And that's why our gospel reading is so important, because it doesn't just tell us about people with real problems. Our gospel reading tells us about a Savior who can take care of all of our problems and the problems of all people. Jesus does it in Mark chapter 5 by journeying to Jairus' house. And as he journeys, this woman with the discharge of blood comes up and touches his garment. And as she does, she's made well. Jesus solves her problem. Jesus is powerful enough to do that. Jesus is also powerful enough to know that even when this woman touched him, that power went out from him. You see, this is the kind of Savior that we have, a real and powerful Savior who knows all things, knows our problems, and can take care of them. And if it wasn't enough for us to see what Jesus does for the woman who has a discharge of blood, what Jesus does for Jairus' daughter should make it abundantly clear for us. You see, because it seems as if during our text that Jesus, because of the delay with the woman with the discharge of blood, it seems as if Jesus is going to be too late. That's what the people think, right? They tell Jesus, there's no more need for you to come. Jairus' daughter has already died. It's too late. But it's not too late for Jesus, because Jesus is this amazing and this wonderful as our Savior, that it's not too late. He goes into Jairus' house and he raises this young girl and restores life to her. And by doing this, Jesus proves that he is the one who can save us from all of our problems. And we know this because of what he's done for us by his cross and empty tomb. You know, oftentimes when we read God's word, we can feel a little bit disconnected from it, right? Because we aren't able to touch Jesus' garment. Jesus doesn't come into our house in the same way that he comes into Jairus' house. And so it sometimes seems like what Jesus does, well, that's for other people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' cross, that's the evidence of the fact that what Jesus does here in this world, it is for you to take care of all of your problems. As we think about all of our problems and what Jesus does on his cross, most often we think about Jesus taking care of our problems of sin. And you and I have real problems when it comes to sin, right? We all know that we struggle with sins of pride and envy and lust and greed. You and I know that we can be pretty selfish and focused on what's going on in our lives and not thinking about other people. You and I know that we're not always as loving and kind as we should be to our neighbor. This is a real problem for us. This sin, it's twisted us and corrupted us so that we're not like we're supposed to be. We're not like we were first created to be when God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus has done something about this problem. He's paid for our sins with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You see, Jesus, he's our Savior, the one who saves us from our problems. But make no mistake about it, Jesus doesn't just save us from our problems when it comes to sin. Jesus also saves us from our problems when it comes to sickness and disease. Now, sometimes you and I might struggle with accepting this reality. After all, we still get sick. We still struggle with diseases. Well, just as you and I struggle with the effects of sin in our lives, so too we struggle with the effects of suffering and sickness and disease in our lives. But Jesus has, in fact, solved these problems. For the here and now, Jesus promises never to leave us alone. And for our helplessness, he gives us prayer to our Heavenly Father. For our grief, Jesus gives us hope. And for those times when we feel estranged and lonely, Jesus promises to be with us always. But even more than this, Jesus promises to take care of our problems forever. Jesus promises that on the last day, the problems that we see and face here and now will be no more. On the last day, Jesus will raise our bodies and give us new and glorified bodies like his, so that we won't have to deal with all the problems that we see around us here and now. God's word says this, that all of his promises find their yes in Jesus. In Jesus, all of our problems will be taken care of. Consider Revelation 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. for the former things have passed away. This is what it means that Jesus is our Savior. And this is what we're given to proclaim to others around us. Maybe the others around us know they've got problems. Well, if they do, they need to be told that Jesus is the answer to their problems. Or maybe others around us think they're doing just fine without God. If they do, we need to remind them that we all have real problems that we need a real Savior for. You and I must proclaim this. God's word commands it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we hear this. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have been given hope because we have a Savior who takes care of us and takes care of our problems. This is a hope, this is a message that you and I must share. God commands that we do. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, all nations includes nations overseas and in places like Africa. But all nations also includes the United States of America. And you and I, having been made the people of God, having been forgiven of our sins and called to be His children, well, we're also given His mission to go and spread the message of Jesus' death and resurrection, to go and tell people that if they've got problems, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.